You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
So the Red Sox are the team that wins the wild card. And then the...
Why am I getting the music?
Dave's like still cranky from Sunday.
It was the dream transition. Continue.
Dave is still cranky from Sunday. You can see that.
Played at any point, really. When we start getting into Mekhi Becton and the injury. Yeah. This brings me back to... No, it doesn't bring me back at all. I'm not in a good way, though, I'll be honest. Because I'm A, exhausted. And B, completely stressed out. Stop it! The music, for God's sake.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I myself will be wearing a meat dress.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, now there's a song I know.
There you go.
Lil Van Halen. Oh, so good. Even better than Saweetie here on a Tuesday morning.
Hot take?
Yeah.
I had no issue with the Sammy Hagar Van Halen days.
Yeah, I think that it's Carlin for DiPietro here on a Tuesday morning on 98.7 ESPN. I think that's like the cool take for people is that, you know, Sammy Hagar is just awful. No, I think that David Lee Roth better, Sammy Hagar also good.
Yes, yes. And just as and more hits, I would argue, with Hagar, as it turned out.
Better music with David Lee Roth.
Yes, there were like when I say more hits, yes, I would agree. Better pure music, David Lee Roth. Sammy Hagar is a showman. And when you see him live in concert, I saw him a few times. He was tremendous. And I miss Dave every... Eddie every freaking day.
Oh, terrible. I actually saw them at Jones Beach.
Oh.
Within the last... And Wolfgang was playing. You know, Eddie's kid was playing with them. And Dave was the front man. I saw them within the last... That's more appropriate there. Within the last 5 years, though, I saw them play.
Yeah. The last time I saw them was when my wife and I were first dating. It was like 04. And it was that last tour before it really blew up with Michael Anthony and Sammy.
But I'm happy to hear, and by the way, it's time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You're a tremendous fan of Van Halen, right?
I do. Yeah. I am absolutely a Van Halen fan. I saw them, now that I think about it, I saw them twice in concert.
Good. I find like I feel like today is the day you and I are really bonding.
We're getting together here. We're on the same page.
Yeah.
It's only been an hour, but there's something happening here.
I do feel like there's something special. By the way, and we'll get to the Giants in just a moment, at 800-919-3776. And, you know, I don't even think it's a hot take, just a take that I will run by Carlin in a moment with the Giants. But we want to line up the Giants' calls about, you know, you had that day to sit and deal with it and kind of analyze it, and now you're a day out. How you feeling about the Giants? But did you see Junior Valentine get hit in the head last night in the Mets game? The umpire?
Oh, my God. That was, I mean.
It was jarring.
And when you see it at first, it looked like he got hit right in the temple. But it's actually just like below his sideburn, if you will. And it scared the daylights out of me. And it scared the daylights out of him. You see blood immediately?
It's terrifying. Wow. But here's the thing. I've been watching baseball forever. And I have, Chris, never seen anything like that happen.
No, I've never seen an umpire get drilled in the side of the head with a thrown ball ever before. Not once.
I give him a lot of credit because he was so focused on the actual, like, bang-bang play at first that he wasn't watching the ball come in his direction. And you watch it, and Sosa throws it. And you think, well, that's not going to be an accurate throw. And then he hits the guy right in the head. You're like, oh, my God. But I'm telling you.
Yeah, and as Santi just pointed out to me in my ear, and it's true, and I forgot. Like, he basically got up laughing, chuckling. about the incident.
Yeah, see, I don't think that I handle it the same way.
Would you be crying?
No.
Would you be angry?
Yes, I think I actually think I'd be angry at Edmundo Sosa. Like,
would you chase? Would you start running after him?
No, I would not, because I know better than to do that. But I think I'd be annoyed and I'd be done. Like, I would walk. Like, he stuck it out. He stayed in for the entirety of the game, and you could see he had two issues. He was A, bleeding from a cut, and B, swelling in like the upper jaw. I'd have been on a couch with ice on my jaw watching reruns of Golden Girls. There's no way I'm staying in the game at that point.
There's only Golden Girls, really?
You don't like the Golden Girls?
I didn't say that. I wouldn't, probably not first on my rerun list. You know, not a B. Arthur guy, but that's just me. I would say that the only thing, you know, use the word jarring, and I think it's a great word. The only thing I can remember being that jarring is when I think it was Tyson Holyfield or somebody with Holyfield, when Holyfield got headbutted and he had a massive, massive, like lemon-sized swelling on his head, seemingly out of nowhere.
I remember that. I don't think it was Holyfield.
It wasn't Holyfield?
I don't know. I think it was a...
Was it Michael Moore? Was it somebody like that?
Oh, I remember it. I mean, and he had like another head growing out of his head, right?
Yes. He had a tiny head growing out of his head.
Yes. I think it was a heavyweight.
Yeah.
I don't think it was Holyfield. I'm sure we could... I mean, it was obscene. It was swollen to the point that you were worried for the man's well-being.
Right. It was Holyfield.
It was Holyfield?
Well, hang on here. Or did he give the... All right, I'm going to kill the mic here and watch a thing while we're talking.
But why don't you do a little diligence with who, in fact, swelled up in the head?
Right.
And I'll start the Giants conversation?
Right.
Okay. So
it was Rahman. Holyfield against Rahman.
Haseem
Holyfield
Rahman
was the one that headbutted him.
Yes. There you go. That's exactly accurate. Okay. So the Giants, Chris. I had a day to kind of...
There it is, Dave. A little tiny little head.
A second head came out, yes. Sitting there yesterday... Able to have moments of clarity, reflecting back. I'm as upset today as I was yesterday. I look at the game on Thursday, and tell me I'm wrong. If the Giants lose the game on Thursday, they'll never see 500 this year, and the season, as far as having any real chance of going to the playoffs, ceases to exist.
You're not wrong, and there are so many things at work here. What bothers me the most is it was just a lot of the same things. It was, your defense is supposed to be pretty good, and it wasn't.
It stunk.
Yeah. They were 7 of 15 on third down, 3 of 3 on fourth down. Denver was. Give up over 400 yards of offense to Denver. Teddy Bridgewater, who is slightly better than pedestrian, is that fair?
Yes. I mean, if you were ranking 1 to 32, he's probably on a good day 14, on an average day 18?
At best, I think.
Okay.
At best. You made him look great. And it's the same mistakes from the quarterback. And Dave, I know this isn't the only reason that they lost the game, but I truly can't get past it. When you are Daniel Jones and all you have heard over the last couple of years is how much you fumble and you don't protect the ball and you run right into a situation where you have two guys closing on you and there's not even the ability to really try to slide or get out of the way. Like you put yourself in that spot and you don't get on the ground and you cough the football up again. And you do it when, I mean, think about it. You do it at the 22-yard line or 20-yard line, whatever it was. And you not only turn it over there, but then later, and tell me you weren't thinking this, at least trying to be optimistic, okay? Mid-fourth quarter, you go on a six-minute drive. You've got first and goal at the 7, down 20-7. You're thinking we can win this game 21-20.
Well, listen, I didn't expect that, but sure, I thought that. And I think, you know what? Put a touchdown in here. still think the defense can stop them, get the ball back, and do it again. Of course. How could that thought not go through your mind?
And incomplete to Barkley. Barkley for 1 yard. That's when I knew you were dead in the water. And then the two more incompletions after that.
Which were just such bland, awful play calls, weren't they?
Horrible.
I watched the Chiefs, and you know they're rolling out Mahomes right, and then he does this underhand shovel to like the fullback coming across, and it, you know they find these new and ingenious and inventive ways of watching football, and then you watch the Giants, and you just feel like God, I mean, Chris, they can't score. They put up 7 points in this game, and I know they scored the touchdown in the closing moments, but they put up 7 points. Do you understand how difficult it is to put up 7 points in an NFL game this day and age?
It's not easy. And you look around the league and how easily points were put up, it's frustrating. And a friend of mine made this point last night. Do people walk around and talk about Lamar Jackson's ball security issues? They don't, because they run an offense that does not seemingly stifle anything the quarterback can do. And I'm not saying that Daniel Jones is Lamar Jackson. However, it just, when he is capable and put in the spot of making plays in a much more modern day offense, and Daniel Jones is seemingly, I mean, they're not that far from running the wing tee, honestly, in some ways.
Listen, I got to tell you, Jason Garrett was never excited by the hire, completely fallen out of favor. I just feel, and I hate to feel like this, and people say, why are you so negative? Chris, why am I so negative? What option do they give me? It's not like they're out there putting up 30 points, and I say, boy, the offense was good, but they just got outscored. It's not like last year they were 6-2, or the year before, the year before, the year before. Like, it's been years of subpar football. The offensive line's still not good. You know, everyone screams from the rooftops how great Saquon Barkley is, and I think he has the potential to be great. Outside of year one, he has not been great. And not all of it is his fault. I mean, he's been hurt, and there have been other issues at play. But you took the guy second. You took him second. You took Thomas fourth. You took Jones sixth. Are any of those guys worthy of those picks right now?
Absolutely not. Barkley, I want to give some more room to. I want to just back off a little bit. He got the workload the other day that I pretty much expected. Let's just see how this plays out. It can't be a gradual, by week six, we're going to get to 25 carries. No, we got to get there by week three. You know, it can, 11 touches the other day is fine. That's not, again, why they lost the game. But you can't have this level of playmaker that you supposedly have and not get him the football relatively quickly in a lot of open space and hand the ball to him and let him go do his thing.
Yeah,
and
I don't even know anymore. I don't even know. Waleed in Piscataway. Waleed, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
How you doing? Good morning, guys. Taking my call. Thank you for taking my call. I totally disagree with the Saquon Barkley. He's the key. Daniel Jones is basically Phil Simms. Daniel Jones is basically Eli. Both had the same issue, same problem.
Wait. How dare you? Really? How dare you come on this show and say that Daniel Jones is the equivalent of Eli and or Phil Simms? You know, I'm gonna let you.
Here's what I'm gonna do
because it's such a moronic thing to say. Hang on a second. Because it's such a moronic thing to say.
What?
I'm going to give you a moment to backtrack and say, you know what? I'm excited to be on air. I love Carlin. I misspoke. Continue.
You didn't let me finish.
Go ahead.
The potential to be there.
What? Jack.
You don't think Jen Jones can has shown you enough to be good quarterback?
No.
And you okay? Well, let's get off to Daniel Jones.
Go ahead.
My comment was basically about Saquon Barkley and the tap dancing in the backfield. You can't get anywhere if you're not moving forward. And this is Michael Kay said it perfectly yesterday. This is what the guy is. He's not a gritty runner. He doesn't run forward. They had Tiki Barber. You had Joe Morris on these championship teams. How can you even start your offense if you have no running? The play action doesn't work. Nothing works. This is why nothing is working. This is why Daniel Jones is struggling, because he has to do too much. The running has to get started. The first play of the game yesterday, Sunday, he ran for 5 yards. That was his longest run of the day.
Look, Daniel Jones is not in the situation that you're describing him in, okay? The offensive line has been atrocious for years. They have better playmakers around him. When is it appropriate to ask the question about whether or not this quarterback can elevate other players to actually be better?
I think we're there now, no?
I would absolutely think we're there now. I'm not going to give him a full-on pass for last year because it was a regression, no matter how you want to look at it. Yes, he was hurt. That's fine. He did not play well. And the only thing that he did was a slight positive was he cut down a little bit on the fumbles. And I've heard a lot, Dave, too, about how he played better later in the year last year. I don't want to hear that either. No,
do it now. I don't want any more excuses.
Yes.
I don't want to get to the end of the season and say, well, is Daniel Jones my quarterback of the future? Do it now. You have Galladay. You have Shepard. You have Slayton. They bring in Kyle Rudolph. You have Barkley. You're going to have Ingram. Find a way to get it done now. And if you don't, then you'll probably find your way to the door at the end of the season.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You want to hear from Steve Young? He was on the Michael Kay Show yesterday.
Why wouldn't I?
Well, I don't know. You know what? You're a guest in my home.
Yes.
I'm trying to make you feel comfortable. It's like I'm walking by and saying, would you like a cheese puff?
You got any chips?
Would you like chips?
Oh, I'd like chips.
what kind of chips do you like?
I'm adaptable, Dave. I can really make anything work. It's called any port in a storm.
So are you like a Tostitos guy, though?
Yes, I'm a Tostitos. You know what I don't like? I don't need the Tostitos. And I know they're trying to do it for convenience, but it really just makes it worse. When they make the Tostitos that are shaped like little tortilla chip bowls.
Oh, why? It helps because you kind of put the salsa in there.
It's the scoop in there, yeah. But I inevitably, when I take a bite, end up like hitting the roof of my mouth with it, and then like I might get a scrape in there. Oh. Next thing you know, I'm spending a week trying to recover from that injury.
Oh, these really are first world problems for you, aren't they? Oh, my goodness. All right, so I just told you
I can make any chip work when I need to.
Anything.
Absolutely.
Like not a gluten-free chip, though.
Dave, double the gluten. All right.
Excuse me. Might I have an extra gluten chip, sir? All right. Here is Steve Young from the K Show yesterday. What are you seeing from Daniel Jones right now?
There's certain guys that have been drafted. Mitch Trubisky comes to mind mostly, but Carson Wentz as well. These high-functioning, really smart, but very desperate to please, and very much like, I want to be perfect. And what happens is you get overwrought, and you try to do too much, and inevitably, especially when you're young, that's when the ball's on the ground. And it was Brett Favre that taught me, like, bro, don't worry about it. Like, it's not as complicated as you're making it. It's not as difficult as you're making it. And I'm worried that Daniel's in that. Hopefully this year, that changes for him. So I don't want this to be who he is. But it's a thing that I was concerned about the first couple of years. And obviously yesterday, you don't like what you see.
If you're ever having comparison to Mitchell Trubisky, ugh, Chris, you have major problems on your hands.
Yeah, you do. And when I hear that, like, you almost should have a visceral reaction to hearing that. You know, that can't be where we're at here. And I had a caller last night on the show, Dave, that said, well, you know, if it wasn't this, you'd be talking about Dwayne Haskins or Drew Locke. So, you know, it could be worse. Okay, that's where we're going to set the bar?
No, but why is that necessary? Why would you mess up? Why couldn't you have taken Josh Allen the year prior or Justin Herbert
exactly
the next year? Why does it have to be, if I didn't take this seemingly mediocre quarterback, I would have taken another seemingly. Like, why that draft did you have to take someone instead of the year prior or the year after?
Because you had the year prior made the mistake of taking a running back second overall.
Which are we not arguing that anymore? Because I can't tell you how many people I've had to hear from that say, oh, I mean, Barkley is just, he's such a phenomenal athlete and this crazy weapon, and he changes the game, and he's the best running back you've ever seen. First of all, he's not.
No.
All right, he's just not. Second of all, and I will on my deathbed, Chris, like the nurses will come up and like, what are you saying, Dave? And I'll mumble to them, you do not take a running back second in the draft ever, Chris, ever.
And it really, what you'll be you're paraphrasing what you'll be saying, but in essence, what you'll be saying is blank Gettleman.
Yeah, that's right. and hopefully this is, I mean, 50 years down the road. But yes.
I mean, we're being a little optimistic, right?
Yeah, actually we are.
Yeah.
40?
Sure.
Well, what would you set the over-under at for me?
You're 48?
Yeah.
I think you got 80 in you.
All right.
I got 80, 85 in you.
If I could have a healthy 85, oh, I would sign for that right now.
Yeah, I'd sign for 55 right now. I got to get my ass in gear.
Stop it. Stop it.
No, But yeah, now listen, if I'm you, 85, that's a magic number. You get to 85, you're doing something right.
Because now I've seen grandkids. I've like been an influence on their lives. I've watched my kids grow and hopefully succeed. Like I've had a long, fruitful marriage. Like I've traveled the world. I've enjoyed retirement. Like I've enjoyed things at 85.
Travel the world. Are you an aspiring world traveler? Have you traveled the world?
No, I've never been out of the country, actually.
Okay.
I'm a boater. Unless you consider, Aruba out of the country?
I mean, well, technically it is, but right. No. I know what you're saying.
But you need a passport, like St. Thomas, like you do need a passport for
this. You do need a passport. That's fair.
But I'd like to. Like I'd like to go to Spain. I'd like to go to Italy. I'd like to go to Greece. I'd like to go to Israel. There are places I'd really like to go.
You have no interest in France, though. I could see you and the French not getting along.
I don't know why. You think the French wouldn't like me, or I wouldn't care for them?
I think it would be a mutual distaste for one another.
Not sure about
And I would understand it. It's okay, you know.
Are you a world traveler?
I've been to Italy and Switzerland and England and Ireland.
You are.
Well, England and Ireland when I was in like seventh grade.
But still.
But in 2016, my wife and I went to Switzerland and Italy, and it was amazing. And I didn't even want to go to Switzerland.
And you loved it.
Oh.
Croatia.
I hate myself.
Also.
Croatia?
Yeah, I've heard great things about it.
I've heard it's amazing.
Yeah. Belgium?
Yeah, I would not term myself a world traveler, no.
Well, you'll get there. Maybe we'll do it together one day. Who knows?
That'd be nice. The four of us. Nice little trip.
That would be. Yeah. Sherry, Cheryl, they meet each other. They'd love each other. Guests on DiPietro and Rothenberg appear via the Goodyear hotline. All right, let's get to a call here, and then we'll take a quick break and come back. And two things. A, something on the head coach. B, CMT. Andre Patterson. Andre, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Me watching the game on Sunday. Jones only have one quarter in him. That's it. After that first quarter, he shut down. Garrett got to go. He's not a good coordinator.
I agree with you. He's so vanilla. And thanks for the call, Andre. He's so bland and not innovative. And Chris, like I said, like you watch these other offenses and you're floored with how dynamic and inventive and the new ways that they go about things. And then you watch the Giants and you just feel like that, like there's no advancement with this team.
No, it feels like an offense from 15 years ago, 20 years ago. It doesn't feel like it's anything innovative. It doesn't feel like it's got any life in it. It doesn't feel like it has any juice in it. And I'm not even talking about like having a guy who's electric like Lamar Jackson, but having just a system that keeps people off balance. And there's nothing about this. It feels very predictable in what they do.
And it's always, run it for a yard, second and nine, throw it for 2 yards, third and seven. And you know what's another thing they do? Consistently, third and seven, and a guy runs like a 5 yard pattern. Like, why do I have to watch that all the time? It's infuriating. Yeah, I would rather, and I think I mean this, I would rather a 9-yard pattern that's incomplete than pick up 4 yards on 3rd and 7.
Yeah, if you're not going for it, I mean, right? I get it. At the very least, we tried. You know, and listen, you need a check down, and sometimes that works. But if it's a design pattern, and it's not a check down that goes 5 and 6 yards, and they happen, that drives me insane.
It's all the time with this team.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
We agree, quickly, Giants have a horrendous season. Gettleman in big trouble, right?
I don't know how he's not.
I mean, not even big trouble. Gone.
Well, if the Giants don't make the playoffs, he should be gone.
Fine. So bad seat, like 5-12, not even a thought.
Not even a thought.
Okay. Don't see progression, bad season, Daniel Jones also gone, right?
Considering the one thing that he did do was at least get them an extra draft pick, an extra first round pick, yeah, I would think so. I mean, what does progression look like? I guess that's my other...
Well, I find it hard to believe that you're going to win 5 games and you'd say, oh, he took steps, right?
No, yeah, you can't do that. If they win 5 games, he's had a horrible season.
Horrible season. But here's the one I was thinking of, and tell me what you think. If the Giants are, and maybe not even like a 6-win team, if the Giants are bad, like say, for argument's sake, the Giants go, say, 3-14. And before you say, well, that was Dave, I mean, how could they possibly, you know what? These next 2 games are imminently winnable games. If you're staring at 0-3 in the face, even 1-2, you really could be looking at a tragic season for the Giants. Now play with me, and maybe it's crazy, and maybe I'm wrong. If the Giants have a 3-14, 4-13 season, is there any idea in your mind that they might say, you know what? Judge, Gettleman, Jones, goodbye, clean house, start fresh.
It would have to be that kind of a year, but I don't know how you don't justify doing that. You know, I don't know how you would justify keeping status quo. And I don't want to be in a position in a year from now where I have a GM and he hasn't been involved in hiring the new coach if I'm going to fire Judge a year from now anyway. Because... presumably, Dave, you go 3-14. Do you feel like you're a couple of players away in a year?
No.
So what's the point then? Because it's so often what we find out with young quarterbacks, and I think actually what works against them, right? High draft pick quarterbacks are high draft picks because the team was awful. And if they're inheriting a coach that is, all right, they had an awful season, but another year from now, with a young quarterback, he may be out of a job, and then you're going into your second system as a quarterback, and that is going to stunt your development too. I don't want to put the Giants in a spot where I have a new GM, and he's dealing with Joe Judge, and the next year Joe Judge is out anyway. Like, I need to get the whole thing cleaned.
Yeah, you don't want it clunky. You want to line it up. So it is not a crazy thought in your mind that if things go horrendously south this year, that the Giants could be in the market for GM, coach, quarterback, the full triumvirate.
I would put the cutoff line at 4-13. That's where I would put it.
So I mean, does record ultimately matter? Like, if they go 5-12, if they go 5-12, you say, well, you know what? Judge deserves another year. And if they go 4-13, you'd say to yourself, you know what? Let's move on from this coach.
Look, I really don't think John Mara wants to be the guy who has become the every 2 years guy when it comes to a head coach.
Okay? That's what they are, though.
That is what they are right now.
They did it
and
with Shermer.
But I don't think he wants to be that consistently. And that's an obvious statement, right? Of course. But when you get to 4-13, how do you justify it? How do you look at it?
Right, but Jets go 4-13. Okay, that's fine. But if the Giants, who there's been all this conjecture, and they spent big money, and they bring in Dory Jackson, and they bring in Kenny Golladay, and it's year 3, and the expectations, if they have a horrendous year, Do you start to look inward and say, I don't know about this coach?
You have to, because Dave, last year after 6-10, you're making a lot of excuses for what went wrong. You know, you're talking about the injury to Jones. You're talking about a lot how bad the offensive line is. You're talking about, well, the GM never got us enough players. You're talking about all those things. And then you come into this year, it would have to be that level of disaster. But yes, if you go 4-13, Dave, with how the last 10 years have gone, I mean, how do you honestly even remotely support bringing him back?
I got to tell you, Chris, this game on Thursday night and the game the following Sunday where you're going to have extended time off against Atlanta are season-changing games. Dave, that level of importance.
And it's going to really – this is the first time that you could look at Thursday night, and he didn't have a big game the other day because Rashawn Slater did a good job against him. If Chase Young lights them up, holy crap. I mean, honestly. You're thinking about the game 2 years ago.
You want a treat on Friday? I'll give you a treat on Friday.
But more importantly, if Chase Young lights you up and it's coming against Andrew Thomas.
Oh God.
That's the nightmare scenario.
I'd wind up in an asylum. Let's go to Tony in the Bronx. Tony, you're next up on
97. Hey guys, thank you for taking my call. I gotta be honest, as a Giant fan, I'm incensed about everything that's going on. I think it's time. I'm just off the bandwagon. I've been trying to be a supporter. You know, I know that the Saquon pick was not liked by many, but you know, kind of get suckered into his potential talent. I'm trying to be supportive, but he's just not cutting it. I don't care what he does when he's on the field. It's 2.7 yards a carry. It's just not cutting it. If you're able to play, then I need to see some productivity. Daniel Jones, I'm done with the fumbles. It seems like the Giants are the only franchise that can't put a quarterback out there that can throw for 300 yards and 2 touchdowns in a game. You got guys that are rookies in the league having significantly better games than Daniel Jones constantly over and over and over. And here's the thing. You know, 2-3 years ago, I mean, when they drafted Saquon, I really, in my heart, wanted the quarterback from Buffalo. I really wanted
Josh
him.
Allen. Josh Allen.
And, yeah, Josh Allen. I really wanted him. Big arm, you know, played up north, cold. Right? I wanted him. But here's the problem. I worry about this. Even if they got Josh Allen, would they have been able to coach him? He would have been terrible with the Giants, too. That's just how I feel. It's like
you know what? I don't think it's a crazy take. I really don't. I think he might be so talented and have such a great arm and the work ethic and all of it that I think it might have worked out regardless. But, you know, the Giants have become, let's be fair, Chris, they've kind of become the laughingstock of football.
In a lot of ways they have over the last 10 years, yeah. And if you want to make that case, I don't think it's unreasonable to suggest Brian Daboll has had a major influence, and you've had the right combination of quarterback and coach to get them right. When you have, you look at the last 10 years, and it's changed dynamically because of how top picks get paid now, right? They get their big money later on as opposed to right away. So you're not as patient with them. And that's why the hit rate has been so, so low comparatively. It's like 6 out of 40 or 7 out of 40 that you would consider actual franchise quarterbacks of guys who were first round picks. And I don't know how you can't look at it and say, all right, how much is the talent? How much is the coaching? Or is it just a combination thereof? Or we're making bad selections?
Yeah, it could be any or all. And you know what the truth is? We're not really sure right now. Guests on DiPietro and Rothenberg and Chad Pennington will join us at 7:35 this morning. They all appear via the Goodyear hotline. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com and do that today. All right, Carlin, are you ready for a little CMT right now?
Let's go. Let's go.
Here we go. Santi, CMT. CMT.
To cuddle.
I would be a menace as a teenage girl.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
Wow, you know what's crazy? I don't think I've done this in months.
What do you mean you haven't done it in months?
Well, between vacation and Rick took it over, and then I was on vacation. Dave was on endless vacation. I think he missed all of July and August. And I don't think I've done one of these, honestly, seriously, since I think May or June.
Where are we now, by the way? When the show is in full force, and it's me, Rick, you guys, who I can't even remember who currently hosts CMT.
Well, that's up for debate, because it was Rick when we were a three-person show, but now it's a two-person show. So I don't know.
Oh. By the way, I did enjoy last week when you had Canty on, and at the end of the interview, and it was the second day without him, he says, thanks for having me on, guys.
It might have been the first day without him. Was it the last Tuesday? Yeah, the inaugural show without him. And he's very
a kind
respectful.
Man.
Very respectful. All right, well, let's audition you here, RJ.
All right. We'll see
if when Rick is back for next week, if in fact this is something you can handle, or we'll have to turn it back to Rick.
Well, then he'd be talking. He'd have to answer himself. It'd be difficult. But
you're going to run point on it.
It'd be difficult, but he could do it.
I don't know. We'll see. Maybe not. But the Giants, you guys, you spent a lot of time on it. So I know, Dave, you don't have to give a prediction because we're still a couple days away. But we only have Carlin for one day. So I want to ask you this. They're set to take on Taylor Heinicke, who, by the way, the last time we saw him for an extended time, gave Tom Brady and the Bucs the toughest game they had in their Super Bowl run. But Ryan Fitzpatrick is out, so I ask you to cuddle, marry, and trash the following. Do you expect the Giants to win this game? Do you think they could win the game, but you aren't sold because you don't know if the Giants can beat anyone? Or do you expect them just to lose the game?
Dave, is this me? Is this I'm going first?
I think, RJ, am I playing this or I'm
yes.
not playing this round? I am?
I think you should because we need you to guide here.
Okay. All right, let me start then, Chris, and I'll guide like a seeing eye dog. I will marry Goodwin. Goodwin. I mean, I don't think it's crazy to think the Giants, the one team they've had, even as bad as they've been for as long as they've been awful, the one team they've had success against is, in fact, Washington. Taylor Heinicke is not bad, but there's no reason the Giants couldn't go into Washington and win this game. So I will marry Goodwin. I will cuddle. They'll lose this game.
Aww.
I don't want to cuddle. We'll lose this game, but I think I have to, given the track record of the New York Football Giants. And I'm sorry, with what I've seen, with what I saw week one, with what I saw last year, I will trash. Yeah, I confidently feel the Giants will win this game.
Throwing that out completely.
Yeah, listen, I hope I'm wrong. I hope they go out there and win this game by 30 points. But
yeah, I
don't know.
I would trash they're going to lose this game. I would
really?
Trash that mentality right away. I would marry they could win this game, and I would cuddle they will win this game. Because I will say this, for whatever reason with this particular organization, a week like this, everybody's feeling crummy. It's a short week. Sometimes they find ways to win that kind of a game when everybody expects it to be a disappointment. So I'll just go with that.
See, that's why Carlin's great for a game like this. He's always going to go in a different direction, which I appreciate. They did beat Washington twice last year.
Yeah, they beat him. Daniel Jones undefeated against Washington.
Oh, that's big. That's huge.
You're mocking the entire existence of me.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And that's why he's going to get sacked three times by Chase Young on Sunday.
Oh, God, kill me.
Or Thursday, excuse me.
All right, Stephen A. Smith had some Aaron Rodgers thoughts over the weekend, as he typically does. Here's what he had to say on First Take.
That was the most atrocious performance of his career. He was so awful that embarrassing doesn't even begin to describe. And I'm going to say something that I don't say about too many professional athletes. And I'm certainly not accusing as if I know definitively this is true. I'm just talking about the optics, how it looked. It looked like he didn't care.
So, I ask you to cuddle, marry, and trash the following. Carlin, we'll start with you. Will Rodgers this season bounce back to play at an MVP level, like we saw last year? Will he be a middle-of-the-road quarterback? Or is this the beginning of the end?
Well, I'm going to trash It's the Beginning of the End. I'm not there yet. It'd take a heck of a lot more than one game after he just won the MVP. He'll return to the MVP level. I would marry that. And I would cuddle that he'll just be a middle-of-the-road quarterback. I don't think that'll happen. Now, but I feel stronger that he won't go completely in the tank.
I could sit here and just use fancy words and wow everyone with my vernacular and just, you know, make it very enticing.
You're a wordsmith.
But I'm not going to, because I agree with you all the way through. I mean,
okay.
MVP to marry, middle of the road to cuddle, and beginning of the end to trash. Off of one game is just a silly, silly take.
All the right. Bonding continues.
Yep,
there
we go.
I like this. Okay.
All right.
Well, simple enough, we move on.
Mm-hmm.
So Aaron Judge has been by far the most consistent Yankee position player this year.
You like the music, by the way, Carlin?
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. Mm-hmm. I'm a game show guy.
It's a live orchestra, actually. I have no
idea. Oh, it is. Yeah. I didn't realize.
Yeah, they played on the Titanic years ago.
They actually never stop playing. They go 24/7, and we just bring in the music when right. We need them.
All right, just pop them up, and yep. There they are, and then we put them down. Yes.
They never stop. So as for Judge, I want to come back to something we spent a lot of time early in the year talking about, especially when he was missing time due to rest, load management, and that's his contract. So he has one more year left of arbitration. That's next year. Then he could reach free agency. So while he's healthy, playing well, honest opinion, cuddle, marry, trash, this offseason, would you give Aaron Judge a contract extension, whatever that takes to get done? I'm guessing a lot of money. Would you let him play out next year and maybe address it during spring training or maybe at the end of next year? Or would you try to trade him while his value is at its highest? Dave?
This is a tough one. He is a homegrown Yankee. He's a great player. And when healthy, and it's obvious, one of the great players in all of baseball. I want to extend him now. I want to try to get that done. He's so sensational. We had a caller, I think when we were doing the K show a couple weeks ago, that said Aaron Judge never comes up with a big hit. It couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, he is just big hit after big hit. When healthy, he's great. I want to extend him. I guess I will cuddle, play out the contract, and then figure it out after next season, because he's just I can't move on from him. I can't. And the Yankees can't do that. The Yankees are, you know, flush with cash. There's no reason to do that. What am I going to bring in now? Young talent to build when I'm trying to win right now. So I will cuddle, play out next year, and then figure it out. And I will trash. Trash trade, Aaron Judge.
I will absolutely trash the notion of paying him now. I would not do that. I would not pay him now. Because, and primarily because of some of the contracts that we see, there was no need for the Mets to pay Lindor right now, and look what happened. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to marry the idea of letting him play it out, and I'll pay him next year. And then I will coddle the idea of trading him at his highest value, because if this ends the same way again, as great as he is, you are stuck with Stanton for the longest time, and there's nothing you can do about that, so you have to start to change the dynamic of this team.
So I'm going to trade Aaron Judge solely because I made a bad deal with Giancarlo Stanton.
Potentially, because as I've said, within 3 years, they're the same player. At the same position. And maybe further down the road, you'll be able to get rid of Stanton. You still have $175 million left on his contract. So if I can really, truly load up quite a bit and completely shift my team based on similar results that I've seen over the last several years, then I got to change something.
All right, so let me ask you this, RJ, yeah. And I know you want to put it close to this, but let me ask you this. Mookie Betts was traded, right?
Yeah.
And in return, they got Verdugo and Gratterall. Is that a deal that you would look at and take the equivalent if you were the Yankees?
Well, but remember, they took David Price, too.
Because right, so
that's why they didn't get more for him. Because they did take a massive contract in return.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I listen. If you can get somebody to take Stanton with Judge,
no, but nobody's going to take Stanton. I mean, Price at least there was an end to the contract. Stanton, that thing goes on forever.
It does. No, I would need to get a lot more than that. But the Red Sox are kind of making the point, like they hit the reset button. It was bad for a year, and here they are, right back at the top again.
RJ,
well, I have one more. I don't know what the clock scenario is.
Right? Oh, forget about the clock. Well, I break whenever I want, RJ.
You literally do.
Yeah,
it's his world,
around
RJ.
The league,
it's,
and
it's,
we will
you're
next
just
right
squirrel
here.
Trying to get a nut.
So
that's the deal.
Well, I guess we can cut some time here because this is really only directed for one person.
Okay.
Might be uncomfortable.
Oh God.
But it's
got to
be.
You know what's going to happen here before he does it. This is the goal of this is to embarrass me.
No, this actually doesn't involve you.
Oh.
Oh.
Like that kind of party.
I know, right? So, Carlin is a man of many programs, many shows. You can hear him all across the ESPN family of audio, ESPN Plus, ESPN Television. But I ask you this, Carlin. When you're not on your show, cuddle, marry, and trash the following that you have filled in on.
Oh, I like it.
Oh, boy.
DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Mm-hmm.
The Michael Kay Show.
Oh, mm-hmm. God.
Or the Greeny Program.
I find it interesting that you left Barton Hahn out there.
Which is the one that he almost exclusively did all summer.
Right. But here's the thing, though. That's a former guy for you. And,
okay.
And I feel like that would have been an easy one. And two of them are featured heavily on this station. And Greeny, I feel like that's a big time platform.
You want pancakes?
Yeah, that's your guy. You would have married that one, which I know.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
So I couldn't give you that. I'm sorry.
I like the thought that goes into it. Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
All right. Well, can we... all right. Here's the deal. I'm going to marry filling in on the K Show.
Wow, there's a chance because, Dave
you know,
is going
presumably,
to the garbage.
I'd be filling in for Michael or it just time-wise. I mean, this is... My decision.
Oh, for God's
here,
sakes! I mean, yeah. You walking around this question is incredible.
Dave,
answer it.
Let's just be clear.
Dave's moments from the garbage.
My actual decision-making process here is 100% based on time of the show.
Right.
Answer it.
Right in the garbage for Dave.
Go ahead. Answer it.
I'm cuddling Greeny. I'm trashing this. Dave, me at 4 a.m. is no pleasure. It's no picnic. And
I do it every day, you big baby.
I know you do.
You do it one day, and I have to hear you whine about it?
Well, I mean, I did this for a week this summer, and I'm still recovering.
You know what? I thought we had made some real headway
today. It has nothing
today.
To do with personalities. Nothing. It has
Stop
to do
it.
With time frame only.
Ugh. You know what, RJ? If you were a great host of CMT, you would follow that up with, all right, just based on co-hosts, where would you go? Take it! Take it!
Well, we can, now it's 7:01, so now
yeah,
we've
I'm so
now
offended.
We've done
you know, I don't even know who
things.
Anybody is
well,
anymore.
Well, I would trash Greeny because my co-host on Greeny would be myself, and I hate myself.
You know what? Stop it.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.